You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
All right, Sadie. Yeah, I got nothing clever to say about this movie. And this movie doesn't have anything clever back to say to me.
Yeah, this is a movie that is so dour and kind of upsetting in parts where it feels wrong to open with a joke even if we could have thought of something.
You know, it's funny, like, what is it this week where we have, like, themes that we go on to? Like,
yeah.
You know, previously it's us doing lesbian biopics.
Right.
And then now it's movies about children dealing with parents going through affairs.
Yeah. We need some diversity. We need to just, like, shake things up every now and again.
And again, I swear I'm not picking these on purpose.
So Thunder Road was the closest thing we had to a comedy, and even then that was real sad. Can someone make something funny and send it to us, please?
Maybe I should have had you watch Stella's last weekend, I'm just saying. But yeah, so this is Sadie. This was a Sundance movie that came out this year, and it's directed by Megan Griffiths, who... Yeah, she hasn't really done a whole lot that I've even heard of. Like, she directed a couple episodes of Room 104, that HBO
Ooh,
show.
I like
and
that show.
I'm curious, did she direct the one? Yep, she directed the one about the Latter-day Saint missionaries, so I've seen that episode.
Is that, like, a good... I mean, I know it's, like, a horror fantasy show. I haven't seen that episode
Well, so it's not even really a horror fantasy show. It's just an anthology about stuff, you know?
About things that are strange.
And it's a story about LDS missionaries who are repressing their homosexual feelings towards each other.
All right.
Of course, just like all the other LDS stories made by non-Latter-day Saints. But that's beyond the point. The other films, like Eden, The Off Hours... I've never heard of any of these movies.
They're movies that I've seen, like, the posters for as I'm, like, scrolling through IMDb and adding thousands upon thousands of movies to my watch list that I will probably never actually get around to watching.
Yeah, so this one, it's interesting. So this is the story about a young girl named Sadie, of course, who is being played by Sophia Mitri Schloss. She is a young girl. Her dad's in the military. He's been off overseas for, like, 3 years, from what they said. And that's starting to have an effect on both of them, where she's starting to get really repressed and angry and distant, even though she loves her dad. And the mom is starting to get repressed and angry and decides to channel that through an affair, which the mom has been played by Melanie Lynskey.
Right.
And so she channels that into an affair with John Gallagher Jr., who's just this, you know, good old rugged mechanic, former pilot guy who lives next door.
He is the exact same character he played in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Which is so funny because I've been following Gallagher's career and he got to start doing Tony, like musicals. He won a Tony Award for Spring Awakening, which he was great in.
He was Moritz, and like that musical and that recording had like a very big effect on me when I was younger. So it's weird hearing Moritz's voice in like all these like, not necessarily hick roles, but these more...
Yeah.
Southern type of characters.
I think 10 Cloverfield Lane had an unfortunate typecasting situation with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that gets involved, and Sadie finds out because literally the first time she meets him is when he walks out of the bedroom naked. He's like, oh, shoot, sorry!
Yep.
You know, it's almost a very Kramer versus Kramer scene that happened there.
Right.
Except not as funny or awkward. And it's mostly her just assumingly trying to break them up. And then dealing with all kinds of other stuff in between.
It's basically just this girl is clearly very troubled, and everything going around her is taking a severe toll on her mental state and how she sees the world. And because it's so deeply revolved around her, like you're saying, like kind of trying to make John Gallagher Jr.'s character like leave her mother alone, the biggest problem with the movie is that it kind of feels like a serious version of Are We There Yet?
I mean, I guess. It's just... The problem there is that the movie can't seem to commit on what it's trying to accomplish. Because, you know, the mom doesn't want to get rid of the boyfriend. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, your dad hasn't talked to me in like 3 years, so...
And seemed to be a pretty awful person.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that every person in this movie is kind of awful, honestly. Like, the dad is awful, even though we never see him the entire movie. He never, you know, mild spoiler, you never see that character throughout the entire story. Sadie is kind of awful because she's a angsty, moody... possibly borderline sociopathic teenager from the stuff that happened in this film. The mom is awful because she's, you know, openly going into an affair without, you know, actually talking to anybody about it or accepting the responsibility for it.
I wouldn't say she doesn't accept responsibility for it. It feels like this is the thing that's kind of pushing her to be like, oh, I was in a relationship with someone that not only is gone, but also didn't really care about me, and I should probably take care of myself. I don't think she did everything right, obviously, but I don't know. I'm much more on her side than I am on Sadie's side. And not that they're necessarily the antagonists of each other, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just that the movie's so very one-sided on that point, where it's just a foregone, like, oh, no, it's cool that she's doing an affair, because, you know, he's cute, and she's happy with him, kind of thing, even though they also established that John Gallagher Jr. Is not all that pleasant of a guy himself.
Yeah, I was expecting the movie to go the route of, like, she started, like, Melanie Lynskey, the mom, started this affair, and then was like, oh, I need to be with someone that's not my husband, but it's not you, painkiller addicted,
lying, cheating,
mess of a human being.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess that's supposed to say something about all of them, that they're all messy human beings. So, of course, right. She would fall for not a guy who's stable, but a complete kind of loser, like John Gallagher Jr.'s character. You know, it's part of that problem, like I said, that, especially with Sadie, that they can't seem to commit to what kind of character she wants to be. Because on one hand, she's trying to be this, like, you know, we're supposed to understand him empathetically as this troubled teenager. And it's like, sure, yeah, she's watching her mom openly cheat on her dad, and that's not cool, you know? She doesn't understand that. But on the other hand, all the other stuff she's doing in her life, where she's trying to help out her best friend by doing stuff that would get them both thrown into prison in some cases.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so... I couldn't, like, I feel like me personally, I liked the actress. I just wasn't crazy about Sadie as a character, personally.
Yeah, and not that I necessarily have any negative feelings toward the actress. I feel like she does a fine job with the writing that she was given. I do think she gets outshined by Melanie Lynskey and John Gallagher Jr., but I do...
Oh, they're both great, yeah.
But I do love both of them, so that's not necessarily fair to say to a young performer. But, like you were saying, the character is so inconsistent where the movie seems to see her, because sometimes it sees her as like, oh, she's the only person that really knows what's going on, but she's also a young child, like she's trying to figure out like where she stands on a lot of things in life. And then in another scene she'll just name drop Columbine and just walk away. Like, that's a thing that happens in this movie, and it's on one, the movie almost works as a cringe comedy because of how uncomfortable and awkward so many of the conversations in this movie are. And I believe that it is intentional. It just... it's like it's so close.
Yeah, it just never fully gels together. And it's weird because especially that stuff with the violence. Like, I heard some reviews that were complaining about how this movie ignores the violent themes of the story.
Oh, I completely disagree with that. I think that's the most interesting part of the movie is the violence.
See, and that's the thing is, like, I do feel like that is interesting. I do feel like I kind of agree that it doesn't go enough into it because Sadie's disturbed.
Oh, she's like, deeply disturbed.
And the movie just kind of chooses to ignore that for the most part. Like they address it at points, but that never resolves. There's no point when they address it. And it's like, yeah, I get the feeling that she's going to be a sociopathic possible shooter in the future based on the impressions I get from some details of this.
I mean, I don't think that's an incorrect reading of what happens after the events of this film, but I would disagree that the movie doesn't take those themes, like doesn't deal with them properly. I think that's the one thing that the movie does really well through stuff that we can't talk about, because a lot of it revolves around specifically like the very, very end of the movie.
Yeah, like the last 15, 10, 20 minutes, yeah.
Even more, like the last like 15, 10 seconds, I think really showcase the movie's stance on the violence, but I can't get into details here.
Okay.
But I was just to say, I do think that the film handles that specific topic really well, and I think that is the most interesting thing about the movie.
Yeah, and it's just a shame that this movie couldn't be better, because, like I said, I think almost everyone in the cast is pretty good. I mean, you got Daniel Brooks as Melanie Lynskey's friend, you got Tony Hale, who is barely in the movie, honestly.
Yeah, I saw him in the opening credits, I was like, Tony Hale, what are you doing here? This is this isn't a funny man show. What are you doing here?
Well, it's funny because he's actually not bad doing drama, but he's in so little of the movie, he just never makes an impact on you.
Because he's not necessarily the comic relief, but he's the butt of a lot of the jokes within the story. And I feel like he does a very good job at that.
Yeah, and then Keith L. Williams as the son of Daniel Brooks and the friend of the main girl. You know, he's fine. You know,
he's a kid.
Yeah, he's just the, you know, he's the black friend, essentially. Yeah. You know, and that's a shame. Because this movie, it just feels like it's a lot of missed opportunities. And even the parts that worked, some parts really did work. You know, it's like, and even as much as I didn't like Sadie, I have to give her credit that she's quite a master manipulator for such being so young.
Yeah.
Because there's some stuff she pulls near the end, especially, where you're just like, jeez, wow.
It's almost unrealistic to the point where it's like, you think like a 30-year-old stockbroker. Like, that's, like, in the 80s. Like, it's that level of, like, manipulation.
Well, especially one scene where it's like, there's no way. Oh, okay, so there's two scenes. One that really bugged me because it was one of those, like, you really didn't think this through.
Right.
And somehow apparently just worked out because reasons.
Yeah, that scene, I wanted to shut off my computer so badly.
I was really frustrated too. I'm just like, movie, you are full of crap if you believe that that guy won't report her for what she did.
Yeah.
But then also, the other twist, you know, the big one that leads to the ending, I was just kind of like, I mean, points for being very clever, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I didn't buy the movie's stance on the way that it ended, because the movie has this, you know, okay, so I'm not going to spoil anything, I'm just saying, this movie has a dark ending.
Yes.
Like, which I kind of suspected might have been an alternative, but I just didn't buy it. I didn't feel like the movie earned that dark ending. And,
okay.
And I just, that kind of frustrated me. It frustrated me when I'm thinking like, well, okay, so that happened, and what? You know, like, it didn't feel like there was any purpose to it other than, isn't life sad? The end. You know,
That is not what I took away from that ending at all. And we can talk about this more off mic because we're just dancing in circles around the events of the ending. But
I just felt like it was I was frustrated by it.
And I get that. I was frustrated by a lot of other things in this movie. This is it's a frustrating film because it is so like we're saying, like, it is almost a really solid movie that is really easy to recommend. It's well acted. There's no issues in any of the writing or the direction. It just, there's something very fundamental missing from, like, step one that never got fixed.
Which is funny because, I mean, at the time of this recording, we also are going to review the movie Wildlife. And that one almost covers the exact same subject, but does it much better, in my opinion. I think that one, I was thinking about it when I was watching this movie. It's like, that movie is the child who sits in the front of the class, who's much smarter than his age, who's very mature and adult. This is exactly the character who Sadie is. This movie is just that child sitting in the back going, man, my mom's trying to...
But, like, they're not even the cool kids sitting in the back that's, like, wild and, like... Like, they're not even that. They're just, like, the weird in-the-middle kid where it's just, like, where do you belong?
Yeah.
Where do you need to be?
And it's just a shame. This movie, like you said, it's almost there.
Yeah.
It almost was a great movie. It had all the elements of filmmaking. Like, for an indie film, it's, you know, it's obviously, it's not very glossy. It's not very well, like... There's nothing spectacular about the way it's made, but it's competent.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need anything more than that for a movie like this. I think it's well shot. It's well put together.
Yeah. No, so I'm just part of that frustration is just that this movie could have been so much more because I saw a movie that was so much more.
Yeah.
And this one was just there. You know?
And sometimes, to give the movie credit, there are times where you do see the movie that Sadie, at least in our opinion, should be shining through the cracks. There are scenes that really, really work, really ballsy and bold decisions that the movie makes where you just have to go, all right, you're taking me on a journey, but that happens so few and far between, it feels like, that for the 95 minutes that this movie is going, it just keeps going in circles sometimes.
Yeah. Although I do have to say, one guy who I kind of wish was actually in the movie more, the grandfather of...
I loved him.
Yeah, Keith L. Williams' grandfather, which I believe is the actor T. Dennard. I think this guy's name was a Deke.
Possibly.
I think so. But if that's the guy I'm thinking of, that dude's funny.
He was wonderful.
Yeah, I was like, why isn't he more of a presence in this movie? Because every time he comes on, he just steals the scene. Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, that's one of those things. It's just missed opportunities. You know? So, I don't know as much else to say about this movie. Even, I was also going to say that this movie is so indie. It has, like, the most indie soundtrack ever of, like, moody, angsty teenager music.
Yeah, but I like that. That's my jam.
I guess. I just found it was kind of unspectacular the way it was done. I'm just like,
I was a moody, angsty teenager 5 months ago. I'm allowed to enjoy it.
You are so young.
Davey the Baby at it again.
Well then, Mr. Baby, what would you give this for final ratings?
Mr. the Baby.
Mr. the Baby.
Like we're saying, there's a really good movie in here. I don't know if there's a great movie in here, but there's a really good movie in here. And I wish that that was the movie that we saw, but it wasn't. I think that Sadie has a lot of really solid ideas about how we see things like violence, and specifically violence and war, and the toll that it has on, like, the modern relationship and a bunch of really interesting things and about life in lower income communities. And I just wish that it all came together in a way that not necessarily made sense, but felt cohesive in a way. Felt like there was a central thesis. This is a very well-written essay without the without a thesis statement.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that really bugs me because there's that guiding force isn't there. I give Sadie 6.5 out of 10 chocolate sundaes.
You know, actually, I think I'm right on the line there with you in terms of ratings. I think this movie, it just never earns it. You know, it has a lot of ideas, a lot of good actors, it has a lot of potential, and, you know, just like Sadie, it just never meets it. You know, it's just, I don't know. Again, I did myself a disservice watching Wildlife first, because, like, wow, a dude who, his first movie, he hits it out of the park with a really great, like, nuanced adult look at affairs and situation with family and that such. Yeah. And this one just didn't have it in it. So I'm going to give it 6.5 out of 10 really gory movies.
Yep.
I mean, and that's such a teenager thing, dude. It's like, man, this movie was great because we got to see a lot of blood in it when they went to the movie.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love, like, horror movies. I love, like, not crazy gore fest, but I like movies that have a lot of, like, violence and splatter flicks. But come on, that was so obnoxious when she was like, oh, this was great. It was, like, gory and adult. And I was like, you need to shut up, kid.
Though, to be fair, that was probably the most real thing in the movie, because I'm like, oh, I've met that girl.
Or I've met that guy. I have too, and I hated them in real life, too.
True that.